Hello, welcome to How Do You Feel, the show that is dedicated to your health and wellness and is sponsored by the Peoria City County Health Department. I'm your host, Lorraine King, and today I am visiting with Holly Beal, who's the assistant manager at the Hope Center for Healthy Living. Welcome, Holly.
Thank you so much.
And thank you so much for taking time out to come by because I know you're very busy. So first of all, just as a reminder, can you inform our listeners what the Hope Center for Healthy Living is all about?
Oh, sure. That's kind of a loaded question, but if you've been in the Central Illinois area, you probably have heard of Holt Center for Health Education or Holt Center for Healthy Living. Our mission is to empower people to live healthier lives. So this seems like the perfect show. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization, so we do a lot of fundraising, writing a lot of grants to be able to do all that we do. Most people would probably know our center that's located right by Proctor Hospital as visiting for a field trip when they were younger, or maybe they brought their children to Holt Center, and we still do a lot of that, minus the past year. Those were paused a little bit. We went into school some, but most people remember Tam the mannequin or Mary the big mandible. Those are the big exhibits that most remember when they come to Holt Center. But in the last 30 years that we've existed, we've also merged with Cancer Center for Healthy Living. So we've brought on a whole new array of oncology prevention programs, oncology support programs and services like massage and nutrition and counseling for those who have been impacted by cancer. And then we also do a lot of suicide prevention, which we're talking about today.
So Holly, did you say you just merged during COVID with the Cancer Center?
No, we did that quite a ways back in, I believe it was 2014. So we've been doing that for a while, but it did bring on that whole new array of services that is a huge need for our community.
Okay, that's great. And to date myself, I remember when the Health Center first got started because it was with Jim Maloof's Forward Peoria Movement.
Yep, you're exactly right. Yeah, if you go to the history section on our website, it tells you all about that. That's good.
Okay, now let's get to the topics that you're going to be sharing with our listeners today. First of all, let's talk about suicide prevention. Are you seeing a lot of incidences of that during COVID or not?
You know, it's about stable at this point in time as far as suicides go, but we have seen an increase in calls for concern through 911, through our access center at Unity Place. But the suicides themselves haven't exactly increased at this point in time, which is great. Mm-hmm. That's why we really want to get out there and share that there are resources and you can ask for help and there are places you can go to get help. You're not alone. And so, you know, the impacts from COVID, we don't really know yet, but we do know that when there is some sort of trauma like COVID, that they can very likely increase. It can have a huge impact. And so that's what we want to do is just spread awareness. And especially with our upcoming event, Whitney's Walk for Life, hopefully we can do that with the community.
Okay. Now, is your suicide prevention line a 24-hour service?
We don't have a suicide prevention line at Holt Center because we don't have 24/7 staff, but there is a suicide prevention line, the National Suicide Prevention Line. That number is 1-800-273-TALK. 8255 is the number there. So you can call that number anytime, and they will route you to local resources. You don't have to be suicidal to call. If you just want to talk to somebody, you can also call that number. They also have a text line.
Okay. So you offer classes for individuals that might be dealing with loved ones or acquaintances that might be have suicidal tendencies?
Yeah, absolutely. Each year, minus last year, everything is a caveat there. Each year we see between 5,000 and 10,000 people. So we talk a lot about suicide prevention.
Excuse me, Holly. Did you just say 5,000 to 10,000 people?
We do.
At the Holt Center in Peoria?
Yeah, so, well, not all at the Holt Center. Some come to Holt Center, but a lot of it is done within different locations. So we'll go to different community agencies. We'll go to schools. We've started really going through the hospitals to teach nurses, physicians, all kinds of people how to talk to somebody about suicide. You would think that most healthcare professionals are comfortable talking about suicide, but sometimes they aren't. And so we really just want to make sure that they are able to talk about that really tough topic quickly because some physicians only have a few minutes with every patient. So how do you have that tough conversation in such a short amount of time?
Okay. Now, do you speak to the medical students too? Because you know I'm a retiree of the UVI College of Medicine.
Absolutely. We go there usually about twice a semester, specifically to see the medical students and residents. They themselves have a high risk of suicide. And so we really want to make sure that they are talking to each other, that they know their resources at the universities that we speak with. And of course, that when they go out into the world of medicine, that they can also speak to their patients about suicide and depression and kind of just opening up that conversation and making it just as normal as you would a broken foot. You know, hey, how'd that happen? What'd you do? Sorry about that. It's okay. We can go get you help. So that's what we're trying to do is just normalize it. It's your brain. It's another piece of your body, but it's important.
And people, again, have to look at the name. The Center for Healthy Living. So being able to talk about something like that, you know, should not be something that people frown on.
We hope so. That's what we're aiming for, is just get more people healthy. You know, we know that healthier kids learn better. If they're sitting in school and they're not very healthy, it's Maslow's hierarchy, right? If they don't have food, they don't have water, they don't have health, they probably aren't going to learn very well. And that's really all of us. We can't focus at work. If something's going on at home, that's the first thing we're thinking about. You know, if it's happening within ourselves, we have high anxiety, high stress, especially if it's COVID related, we've got to talk about it and we got to make it okay to reach out for help.
Now, you mentioned kids in school. So does that mean that your staff makes a lot of visits to the schools to address?
Yeah, absolutely. We see a lot of students. A lot of those, I said 5,000 to 10,000 people a year, a lot of those are students. We visit Peoria Public Schools, every middle school and every high school in Peoria Public Schools, and then a lot of the outskirts schools we visit as well. The Whitney's Walk for Life fundraiser helps to pay for those programs. So many times the schools don't even have to pay for us to come in to do a program like that.
Okay. So do you go to the schools on an annual basis, like all the public and
yep,
private
typically
schools?
We do. We go to, we schedule them right at the beginning of the year so they already know when that date is. That way they can get caregiver letters out, let them know. If they want to schedule trainings with their caregivers at schools, if they want to prepare their counseling staff, if they have counseling staff, or we could wrap in another agency like Children's Home to help us out mm-hmm. if they need extra support mm-hmm. during that time. The last thing we want to do is go in and blindside them with education. But then not bring resources to help. And so many times we try to keep it really, really positive. We try to make it resilience-based, strengths-focused so that the students aren't sad when they leave. That's the last thing yes. we want them to be. But we really try to make it positive that your mental health is important. You have to recognize it. And if you're not feeling okay or you notice that somebody else may not feel okay, mm-hmm. reach out for help. But we have to make sure that they have that help there.
So you're dealing with the entire spectrum of the life cycle. And can you pinpoint, like, is there a certain demographic or age category that might have suicidal tendencies, or are you able to track that?
Yeah, we do a lot of data tracking under Partnership for a Healthy Community and our Community Health Improvement Plan. We work very closely with the epidemiologists, the coroners, to make sure that we're tracking that information. It changes here in our local area. You know, youth are at a greater risk, but luckily we don't see as many youth suicides. They have a lot of resources. We just have to make sure they're aware of it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes if they're feeling sad or overwhelmed or suicidal, they sometimes have those blinders on. They can't always see. It's a little fuzzy for them to see outside of, you know, maybe what's going on in their own head. And so hopefully this education will help to lift that a little bit, make them see a little bit clearer. And see those resources that are available. As far as other ages or demographics, you know, of course we know that veterans are at a higher mm-hmm. risk. They've had, you know, sometimes trauma in their history and maybe not had access to resources or know of those resources, or maybe they're just too scared to say anything. And so once again, just normalizing that, let's talk about it. It's okay. We also see that middle-aged men are at a higher risk. Once again, is it because they just don't really want to talk about their feelings? Is it because they're working and they don't, you know, have access to resources or know of their resources? Mm-hmm. for a health education center, our educators are out and about, our counselors are out and about, but it's really hard to reach that group specifically. We can go into schools and they're a target audience for us, right? We can, the principals allow us in, the counselors mm-hmm. call us in, they want us there. But if there's somebody working, you know, at a shop or, you know, driving a FedEx truck or whatever it is, we don't really see those individuals, men or women. And so it's hard to reach that working age. And so we hope that, you know, some of the events that we do, like Whitney's Walk for Life, will raise awareness and give them resources to let them know that it's out there. There's help. There's local help mm-hmm. here as well.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Whitney's Walk later, but I want to ask you first, how do people contact you, you know, to get your services? Your services sure. are primarily educational, right?
Yeah, so we offer mostly just suicide prevention education for youth and then specific trainings for adults. We have one evidence-based program that we offer a lot for adults. It's called QPR, so that's Question, Persuade, Refer. So if you are interested in that program, it's called QPR. You can contact Holt Center. You can get on our website, holthealthy.org, and you can read about that too. I'm a QPR gatekeeper trainer, and we also have a couple of other people who provide that education as well. And that's a two-hour training. It comes with a certificate to say that you're actually certified in being able to ask those questions. So QPR stands for Question, Persuade, Refer. So it's really simple. It's sort of like CPR, right? Mm-hmm. We know the steps to, if somebody's heart is stopping, mm-hmm. we know the steps to save a life, and we want to make QPR just as common. We want to talk about it. All you have to do is ask a question, persuade them to get help, and then make that referral. And so we do offer that for the community. And then we'll do really specific training sometimes too. For example, we've trained Peoria Public School security guards. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit different of a conversation to have than just the typical QPR. So mm-hmm. we'll take them through QPR. They'll get certified in that. But then we might have an hour or two training where we'll have specific situations that may happen in a school. Another training that we've done is with counselors, right? If there's counselors in a school, they may be more used to counseling for going to college. Mm-hmm. They don't always come across somebody who says I'm suicidal. And so they will reach out and just say, hey, I need extra support. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we tried to get into that we backed out a little bit on is grief counseling support. We were hosting grief counseling supports for young people, any kind of grief, mm-hmm. suicide, trauma of any sort, but found that there's so many schools that need that support. It's really better for us to just train to be able to do it mm-hmm. because we can't be everywhere. And so one of the things we've really gotten into is training counselors to be able to be comfortable enough and have the skills and knowledge to be able to host their own grief support groups with families and with youth at their schools.
I know that when I worked for the College of Medicine that I took the QPR training. And I'm thinking, because now I'm working with a nonprofit, the NAACP, related to the COVID grant, you know, contact tracing and providing resources to people. It sounds like the QPR training is something that would be beneficial to all people working in the social services or the
absolutely.
Nonprofit arena.
Yes, absolutely.
So do you ever have any training specifically for that group, or should they be reaching out to you to schedule something like that?
They can certainly reach out to us at Holt Center. You can call or email info@holthealthy.org, and we can work with you. A lot of times it's just that basic QPR, and then afterwards we can just do a quick question and answer session to figure out mm-hmm. what are some of the situations that you've run into, what have been difficult situations that we could talk together and we can better navigate.
So besides the trauma that our veterans experience, you know, in serving our country, and some of the challenges that school kids face, you know, and being hungry and that kind of thing, what other factors trigger somebody to want to, you know, take that step, you know, toward ending their life?
Yeah,
one particular overwhelming factor?
I would say just lack of resources. A lot of times they don't want to die. They just don't see any other option. I said earlier they have those blinders on, and I like to think of it when I talk to the kids at schools, I like to think of it as those horses that walk down the street, and you know, they have those little black little glasses on the side so that they don't see the cars driving by and it doesn't distract them, so that you can safely get down the road, you know, in the horse and carriage. And that's a lot of times what individuals will describe, is they just can't see any other path. And we know when we're thinking clearly that there are a lot of paths, and we just have to open our eyes to that. But it's really hard to do when they're just feeling extremely overwhelmed. Sometimes it's because of something. Maybe there's financial ruin or relationships that are falling apart, or maybe a death or something like that. Mm-hmm. And we know suicide isn't only caused by one or two of those things. There's usually some underlying mental health issue that's going on, and we know that there's help for that, right? We can't fix maybe a relationship or a financial ruin, but we can help them see paths that will set them, you know, into a healthier way and get their mind a little clearer so they can be more hopeful. So I think to answer your question in short, it's just that they can't see any other way out.
Now, I like the fact that you're doing education and preventive measures, and it sounds like that's something that everyone should be more aware of, and we should talk about it more. So in what ways can other organizations partner with you? And also, what are some of the classes? I mean, like, when are they scheduled? You know, are they on some kind of rotation, you know, that people could take advantage of, you know, individuals as well as organizations?
Yeah, so I would say that, you know, it depends on the organizations, but being trauma-informed is one of the things that we're really working on. I serve on the board for Partnership for a Healthy Community, and that's the Tri-County's response to some of the greatest needs in our area. And of course, mental health, substance abuse, those are two of our greatest needs. And one of the things, of the many, many things that we are working on, is trying to get more agencies and schools more trauma responsive. And what that means is recognizing when something's not quite right, or when one of your people, youth, children, employees, has experienced something. You may not know it, but how do we respond if we did sense that something wasn't going on? You know, how do we support that person? A lot of times it's just that human connection that we need. And if we don't get that, that can, you know, make somebody feel isolated, alone, and start to kind of lead down that negative path. And so how do we equip these schools, agencies, people, community members with the tools that they need to just see a little bit wider, right? To see the resources and help connect people.
Yeah, so the community health workers that are working, you know, with the Pandemic Health Navigation Program, this is something that would be of value to them in dealing with those people who've been impacted by COVID, you know, either directly or indirectly. So do you have a schedule of classes year-round? When are your classes?
I don't have a schedule of classes. Those types of trainings, of course, QPR we can schedule. Just, again, they can reach out. But as far as trauma responsive goes, we are working with a small committee under Partnership for a Healthy Community. If you're wondering more about that, that's healthyhoi.org that they can visit. We are getting ready to launch some trauma responsive curriculum that will be available at no charge online. There's some virtual programs through the state of Illinois that we're going to share with others. And then we're making some very specific trainings for our community. Those are still in the works. But if you are interested, you can visit that website. You can always reach out to Holt Center and I can navigate you to the right spot, because I know there's a lot of acronyms and resources that I've thrown out today. But you can always reach out and we can help to get you to the right agency. It might not be Holt Center. Mm-hmm. It might be the Regional Office of Education. It might be, you know, Partnership or any of the lots of different agencies that are underneath of that umbrella of services. But either way, we'll get you to the appropriate place that would make sense for that organization or civic group or whatever it is. That it sometimes churches are a great place for those trainings as well.
Okay, for those listeners who may have just joined, you're listening to 106.3 on your FM dial, WPNV, Peoria's Neighborhood Voice. And the show you're listening to is called How Do You Feel? And it's sponsored by the Peoria City County Health Department. And today I've been visiting with Holly Bill, who's an assistant manager at the Holt Center for Healthy Living. And she's been talking about ways to address, to educate people on suicide prevention, because it can affect people across the life spectrum, from small kids all the way to adults. So now, Holly, that we talked about some of the things that people that should be involved in places and ways. So now let's talk about a specific event that you're having this weekend to raise funds to be able to put on these educational services. And that's Whitney's Walk.
Yeah. Whitney's Walk for Life is an annual event. This is the 18th year, if you can believe that, that we have been walking to raise awareness and raise funds for suicide prevention in the area. All of the things that I've talked about today are funded in part by Whitney's Walk for Life and other grants that Holt Center's team helps to secure. The event is held the last Saturday of July every single year, so that this time it lands on July 31st. Mm-hmm. So we will be at Jubilee State Park. It starts at 8 a.m., but you have to arrive pretty early because there's a lot of attendees. So I would say 7 a.m. arrival. It's bright and early. Since we've had COVID and all of that this year, we also offer a virtual option. So that means if you want to sign up, you can walk in your neighborhood. Just get the, if you see the lime green signs or the lime green tees, you'll know that it's Whitney's Walk for Life. And so lots of people show up in memory of their loved ones that they've lost. Lots of people show up just to advocate, to talk about mental health and that it's okay to not be okay, right? And just share the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline that there's help out there.
So for those people who may not be early risers, they may not want to get out, but they would do have to get up if they want to participate virtually, right?
Yeah, so if they want to participate virtually, that's okay. They don't exactly have to kick off the start time at the same exact time. They can walk anytime, anywhere that they want to. We would love it if they would, you know, use the hashtag WWFL, which is Whitney's Walk for Life. That way we can see all of your social media posts that you might be posting online if you're into that, which I'm not so good at, and don't blame you if you're not. But if you are, that's how you can find us, and you can see everybody else who are there walking virtually as well. We do expect that there would be about 1,000 people out at Jubilee, but there's also thousands more that are walking everywhere else. So wherever you're comfortable.
Okay. Now, Holly, do they have the markers, the green markers already set up, or do groups get together and place those markers in their neighborhoods?
So we have lots of people who just come pick up those signs and they place them in their own yards. So that's just, we put them out front of Holt, and when they're gone, they're gone. And we have lots of people who come pick up those signs.
So when individuals hear about this show, it will be underway. But if they didn't participate in this activity, how else may they support this walk to raise funds for such an important cause?
Sure. Thanks for asking. So we raise funds all year round. Holt Center is a nonprofit. You know, all of our nonprofits in the community are all just working as hard as they can to bring as many resources that are needed to our community. So you can donate at holthealthy.org/donate. You can call us. You could even get on whitneyswalk.com. So if you donate to whitneyswalk.com or you register for the event, which is $25 for adults and $15 for children ages 12 and older. Now, the price does go up $5 on the day of the event, so register early. Then you can donate. You can send in a check, of course. Any way that you would like to send money, of course, we'll always take a donation to help with the services that we provide the community.
Okay, and so we can remind our listeners that they can use this information to start preparing and getting teams together for next year, right?
Yes, absolutely. Right now we have 50 teams, and so I know it is so crazy how many teams we have, and it's amazing to see the support out there. So we have different teams. The team names are awesome, and you can go online and you can see all the different teams. We have teams that are in memory of individuals. We have teams that are just different organizations, like the Holt Center has their own team. Mm-hmm. Unity Place has their own team, and lots of other teams. We have neighborhoods that have their own teams, so you might get on and see different neighborhoods that are listed. And some teams, I'm not really sure why they named it what they did, but as we're at the event, I usually try to talk to the individuals to find out, you know, why do you join our cause and why did you name your team that? So there's some interesting teams out there, but they're doing amazing things. The teams are so dedicated and they do very creative things like bracelet sales to raise their team. It's sort of a competition to see how much they can each raise, all to go towards suicide prevention in our community. So the good thing is all of that money stays local.
Okay.
It all stays right here, which I'm really proud of. you know exactly where it's going. It's going right back into our schools, right back into our own community. And yeah, so come join the event on the 31st. It will be great.
So even though the walk is named after the person that was impacted, can they have teams that have any name?
Yeah, any name at all. There's, like I said, there's 50 different names out there, all different rhymes and reasons as to why they have those different team names.
Okay, so I just want to remind people that you said it's always the last Saturday in July. So here's your opportunity to start planning next year, 2022.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we won't be as impacted by COVID as we were last year.
I sure hope
we'll
not.
Be free. Otherwise, we'll be doing more virtual.
Yes. We'll still be doing it, I promise you. I just really hope that we get to see people this time.
You'll still be doing it.
Yes.
So tell me, so have you been able to see progress made, you know, as far as education, you know, in the community? Or have you gotten compliments for individuals who've been involved or engaged, you know, in this work, you know?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's incredible to see, you know, we don't hear as many stories, I guess, as we would love to. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons is we work a lot with youth, and if you don't have any permission to share those stories, then you can't really share them. So we have a lot of beautiful pictures, and kind words don't always have the permission that goes along with it to share. But yeah, we train teachers and counselors, and the feedback that we've gotten on those is just incredible, that they've been able to use those skills almost day one, you know, and continue building those skills. And once they have that training, that background, that education, that's really actually pretty simple, it kind of opens their world into just being able to comfortably talk about it. And if you're comfortable about it, you know, if you have that number in your phone, that National Suicide Prevention number, and you're worried about somebody and you say, hey, put this number in your phone, it normalizes it. You know, it makes other people feel more comfortable talking about it. And we just have to share that.
Okay, you said a magic word, number. So yeah. What number should they call?
Yeah, so if they are worried about themselves or they are worried about a friend, of course, if it's an emergency, always call 911.
Okay.
But, you know, if you want to save a number in your phone and you want to help normalize suicide prevention, it's a National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. It's 1-800-273-TALK, or that's 8255.
Okay, so you can call the National Suicide Prevention Helpline, 800-273-8255.
Yep.
Or you can go online to...
Yep, you can go just Google. I'm not really sure what the tag is, but Google National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, and then you can chat online. They also have a text line, which some of our younger people sometimes prefer texting and not talking. And I believe that number is 741-741. You text home, but I also believe you can really text anything that you want to. All of those numbers are just sometimes hard to remember. So just, you know, if it's an emergency, always call 911.
Right.
But if you're worried or you just want to talk or you want to give a resource out, that National Suicide Prevention Lifeline number is 24/7.
Okay. Holidays included, right?
Yep. It doesn't give up. It never stops.
Okay. Now, you mentioned another web location, healthyhoi.org. Now, remind me of what that's about.
So, healthyhoi.org is our partnership for a healthy community. That group is a group of community members, professionals, all kinds of people from our tri-county area. So, that's Peoria, Tazewell, and Woodford.
Okay.
What we do every few years is a community health assessment. You'll see a little bit more about that later this summer as we start to ask community members, what do you think are the greatest needs of our community, specifically health-wise? You know, is it housing? Is it food? Is it obesity or obesity-related diseases? And there's a series of questions. And so with that information, we survey thousands of people every year. Our community, our health departments, our hospitals, it is a very collaborative effort. Mm-hmm. Every agency you can think of is involved.
As it should be.
Yeah. And we take that information back and look at it with the help of Bradley University and Dr. Weinzimmer's team. We all come up with a kind of a ranking, if you will, of what are the greatest needs of our community. And so this time around, the series that we're working on right now is, of course, mental health was number one, substance use, cancer and then obesity and hunger. So those are the things that we're really working on. So if you visit healthyhoi.org, you can learn more about that assessment process or that survey process. You can learn more about the things that we are doing as a community to try to improve those things. So we have different measures that we're taking. You know, is what we chose, like suicide prevention education, is it working? Are those numbers actually improving because of what we chose as interventions for our community? And so everybody's working together on it. Anybody is welcome to join any of those committees. So if you're really interested in learning more or having a voice in food and hunger, join a committee. If you have questions, you can always reach out to me and I can connect you with the right person. There are four different committees that meet, usually monthly or every other monthly, that are really just working on these things, boots on the ground people trying to make a change.
So another number, if they want to reach out to you, how do they contact you?
Well, they can call me at 309-692-6650. Again, this is Holly. So if you have questions about Healthy HOI, Partnership for a Healthy Community, Holt Center, Whitney's Walk, any of those things that we mentioned today, and I know there's a lot of different things that we talked about today, they can always just say, hey, I heard you, and I want to know more about that thing you said, and that's okay. I can help navigate them to the right person. Like I said, it might not be me. Okay. It might not be Holt Center, but I can certainly get them to the
You can direct them to the right place. And they can call that number anytime, day or night. And
so we're only open during business hours.
But no voicemail?
Well, I have a voicemail. They can leave a voicemail. And they can also email info@holthealthy.org. And there's also contact information. If they're browsing the site, the Healthy HOI site, they can contact. There's lots of different links to contact us as well. And that will filter to the right people.
Okay.
So either way, you can reach us.
So next year, we have to make sure to do this earlier.
Yeah, that would be a great idea.
We will schedule this earlier.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've been very helpful. And so is there anything that you want to, any parting thoughts for our audience?
Gosh, you should have told me that before we started. Oh my gosh, I have so many thoughts. I would say, you know, overall, I feel really blessed to be in this community. I've worked with a lot of different communities. Chicago has called us, Holt Center, to help them with some of their problems, their health problems in their communities. And they're so big that it's very hard for them to get a handle on their different agencies and their different resources. And then we've been called by very small communities like Decatur, Galesburg, for example. And they are so small that they just don't have enough resources. And I feel lucky because we do have a lot of resources. I do know that we have a lot of issues to tackle, but I feel really strongly that we have a tight-knit community with a lot of people who are really willing to do the hard work. And I think we're doing a really great job of breaking down silos and working together. I know we have a lot of work to do, but it's so hopeful knowing that we have amazing nonprofits here, amazing hospitals that are willing to work together. And we're just doing some really cool work. So it's awesome to be out and about and seeing the good people out there.
Yes. So when all these organizations and individuals collaborate, we can make a big splash.
We can. And I'm seeing it. We're not there like all the way, but I'm seeing it. And I think it's exciting.
Oh, good. Next year you'll say, okay, yeah. Lorraine, we did it.
I think every year we just get stronger. And I think that's our community getting stronger. And if you want to be involved in that, get involved. You know, if you don't know how to get involved, but you know you want to be involved, reach out to us. We'll get you involved. We got plenty of work to do.
Yes. If you need to talk to somebody, you know, you want to be very private, you can call the Suicide Prevention Line, 1-800-273-8255. Or if you want to get personally involved in your own community, you can call Holly, 309-692-6650. Or you can go to the healthyhoi.org website or the Holt Center website.
Absolutely.
And now is the time to start forming your teams and coming up with an impressive name for next year's event. So thank you so much, Holly, for coming.
You're welcome.
And I want to just remind our listeners that you've been listening to How Do You Feel? The show that is dedicated to your health and wellness and is sponsored by the Peoria City County Health Department. Today we talked about suicide prevention and Whitney's Walk, which raises funds to do education about suicide prevention. And this show will air at 11 a.m. on Saturday, if you're listening on Saturday, and you say, oh, I have my neighbor or my friend that needs this information, you can remind them that it rebroadcasts at 7:30 p.m. on Sunday. I've been your host, Lorraine King. Thank you, Holly, for
coming.
Thank
you.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in.
Now is always the right time with something positive.